At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is VSiN's Best Bets, giving you VSiN's top talent, handicappers, and guests to catch you up on what you may have missed.
Here we go. Welcome aboard. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show is brought to you by DraftKings, Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy show lined up today. All this playoff action going on in the NBA and the NHL. We'll recap what took place last night. Look ahead to tonight's card. We have the most wins in April coming down to the final day, and odds are up for most wins in May. I made a bet. I'll tell you about that coming up in about a half an hour. We have NFL Coach of the Year odds available. Matt Youmans on the program today. Greg Wyshynski on the NHL. And Brian Geltziler on the NBA. And late action last night on the West Coast, the Denver Nuggets ended the season for LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers by 2 points. They won. Jamal Murray, I'm not going to call it a buzzer beater because the Lakers still had a couple of seconds left, but that's the second time in the series he put the dagger right into their kidneys. Beyond that, last night to end their season in 5 games, and he was questionable going into the game. He was awesome last night. He scored 32. The Joker had a 20-20 double-double with 9 assists, and they got all they wanted, Paulie, from the Lakers in a 5-game series, and they march on to take on the Timberwolves in the second round.
An all-timer. The Lakers outscored them by 38 points in the series in the first half. They led every game by at least 9 points and lost in 5. I mean, it's absolutely staggering what happened. And then everyone's pointing the finger at Ham. It's incredible how these reports come out as soon as the season ends.
Isn't that something else?
Yeah, back-to-back days now. After what happened in Phoenix, now Shams has a report. Players don't like him. Could be gone. Didn't make adjustments. But they're up 9 in the third quarter. An atrocious call on LeBron with his third foul. Yeah. I don't know how he's supposed to play defense on Joker. He's boxing him out. He gets the rebound. Lakers are going to have a fast break the other way. Oh, foul. Joker then hits a 3 on the next possession. And then while all this is going on, Ham never takes a timeout, and the 9-point lead disappears. It's like Embiid part 2, that you couldn't sit LeBron either. I mean, 21 years in the league, total warrior, unbelievable player, what he still has. He sits for 4 minutes. They get outscored by 5 points.
Why would he retire?
Yeah.
Why would he even consider calling it quits at this point when he's still playing this well? He's been in the league for 21 years. He almost had a triple-double again last night.
He's amazing.
It's just his body is incredible, man. We've never seen anything like it before.
Yep, but they're right there in every game. I mean, you could argue they should have won the series. They should at least be ahead in this series. Game 2 looms large, up 20, and you couldn't close. But every game came down to the wire, and you had a comfortable lead at halftime or at some point in the third quarter, and just they made all the plays in their clutch, and I also can point the finger at Ham. Can you get the ball out of Murray's hand? Make someone else beat you. Where if it happens to be the MVP, so be it, because he knocked you out twice, your game 2 and game 5, and you go home early.
That game completely flipped, and it did not take long in the third quarter. You're right, when the Lakers had him almost down by double digits, and if you blink twice, the Nuggets went on a big run, scored 20 points, and they had a three-point lead. It's like, where'd that come from?
That's right.
It's still the third quarter? Wait a second. What?
Yeah. How about this, too? The season is on the line. You must have this game. Late in the third quarter, he has Hayes, Russell, Prince, and Dinwiddie out there with LeBron. I mean, it's just, he never really got the substitution down and the right guys who should be out there.
Well, they also
We're going to point the finger at Pelinka here in a second, but it's a game you have to have. These guys cannot be on that lineup cannot be on the floor. And there were so many instances this year in big games and key games where these rotations and lineups hardly were on the floor together at the same time or at all the entire season.
That's because of the overall roster construction.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ham, when he has to give his guys a rest, what are you supposed to do? Play five guys the entire game? And also, how about that injury to Anthony Davis's shoulder last night?
Mm-hmm.
Did Michael Porter barely grace him? I mean, barely. That play happens 150 times in any NBA game. He barely made contact with the guy, and Anthony Davis looked like he got shot. And he was down. They had to take a commercial break during the broadcast. He's still down on the court. So you want to talk about just a freak accident. Also, that guy has been injured plenty in his career, so it doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell for the next couple of series, he just floated off into the corner, and he's still holding onto his shoulder like this, still on the court. Maybe that would have been a good time to get him off.
Yeah.
But they can't survive anything like that.
I know. That's been the story, other than the year they won in the bubble, was the key injuries. Now, he was great this year and played in almost every game, but it was just roster construction, key injuries, and letting good players or key role players / reserves go. And that did him in as well. And this is a hit to the legacy. It has to be.
No.
I mean, he goes out in the first round again, which he's number two on my list, all time behind MJ. But this certainly, it's a huge win that you acquired him and you won a title. But you were expecting a lot more during the tenure in Los Angeles.
Okay, going back by year, this was his sixth season in L.A. from 2024 working backwards. First round exit, Western Conference Finals, no playoffs, first round exit, pandemic championship, no playoffs. Were you signing up for that in L.A.?
Yes. You got the title. They probably should have won back-to-back.
No, they didn't.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, but injuries, I know. But that's if Anthony Davis stays healthy, they probably go back-to-back and repeat.
That's a lot of flopping, I'll tell you that. A lot of failures there in 6 years.
Yep. Well, here's what the Westbrook trade was a disaster. They gave up Kuzma, Pope, Harrell, and a pick. And then Westbrook was shipped out a short time after. Ugh. And Dave McMenamin referred to him as a vampire because what he did to the locker room. Getting rid of Caruso and other key role players. You see how good Pope has been, and he wins a ring.
Sure.
So, I mean, all these moves here came back to bite him.
Over the years, by the way, their drafting was actually really damn good. They just gave up on players so early in their careers. Now, could they have had Anthony Davis and some of these young players? Probably not, but they had Lonzo, and I get it. He's been hurt. But also Brandon Ingram, remember that? Couldn't play, get him out of here. Julius Randle, same thing. They turned out to be pretty good. Like every time that they would get rid of somebody, it's like, that's a bad sign because you know that he's going to go somewhere else and be pretty good. And that's almost what happened every single time. And so now there was internet conjecture yesterday saying that if the Lakers were to lose that game, or it doesn't matter, bow out in the first round or early in the playoffs, that could be the last game ever. Or this could be the last season for LeBron James. He was asked that very thing last night after the game.
It's going to be your last game with the Lakers. I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, he does this every year. I imagine he'll be back. He might play a couple more years. And I would, if I'm the Lakers, I would draft his son. I would beat everyone to the punch here. And I would do that too. But I think he stays a Laker. How many years he plays, I don't know. But I don't think he retires. You're right. He's still an excellent player, one of the best in the league. And this dream of playing with his son, even if the kid sits the bench, so be it. I would draft his son and start there, and I would make a coaching change and do a better job with the roster.
Now, I don't know if he's back in L.A.
No, I can't imagine he goes anywhere. Now, do they get like?
Would you be surprised?
I'd be stunned if he's not a Laker.
I would bet on him actually leaving.
Oh wow!
I'd make the bet at the right price that he leaves.
I would not get any part of Trae Young. Don't do that.
Oh, absolutely not.
Now, if you can bring in a Murray or someone like that, here's what also hurt them: they were going to move Russell. He was terrible. And then he caught fire and was hot and played great basketball. So they were forced to keep him. I mean, and then you saw what happened again in this series. He only played well in one game. And that also did him in. Hachimura also regressed. Last year was a fluke. Reeves didn't develop and have a great year like he did last year. But also lost in the Western Conference run last year, going to the Western Conference Finals. The bracket opened up for him. Memphis had a ton of injuries. It wasn't a very good Golden State team. So they went to the Conference Finals, but the West was down. And also the seas kind of parted for him. How it worked out. And who knows, maybe they're one of the best teams in the league this year. It just happened to get the defending champs in the first round.
I'm quite confident in saying if they played a different team in the first round, not named the Denver Nuggets, they would not be out at this point.
Oh, they're a very good team. Yes. Because those two guys are studs.
Anthony Davis was absolutely fantastic in this series.
I know.
LeBron was LeBron, as he is still. I mean, it's amazing. I will say this now, with the Nuggets moving on to the second round, we talked about a projected series price out here yesterday. I cannot believe where it opened and where it's on the board right now. DraftKings has minus 230 for the Nuggets. T-Wolves almost $2 on the take back.
Yeah. Johnny Avello, what are you thinking? That's high, man. Very high.
Put it this way.
Pope is banged up. Jackson is banged up. Murray is banged up.
I haven't even had a chance to look yet here in Las Vegas. When I do during the show today, if I can find anything close to $2, I'm absolutely grabbing that with the Timberwolves.
Yep.
I won't even hesitate. Got to do it. That's it doesn't matter.
We'll go right here after the break. Take plus 190. You can do that.
Is it up right here?
It's right here.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's way too high considering they're banged up and the Lakers outplayed them for much of the series.
Yeah. If that number is where we thought it was going to be, T-Wolves like plus 130, I'd be like, okay, it's not enough. But almost $2 in this series? Did we not just watch him play against the Suns? Did we not watch him play against the Nuggets this year? Oh, man.
Deep team. Deep team that's healthy.
I kind of expect the Wolves to win this series.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, these guys are banged up, and they have zero depth. And if I have to count on guys like Reggie Jackson, good luck. I mean, that's...
Uh-huh.
But then again, Joker and Murray could just be... could outplay him and be the difference in the series. But you have to be loving how Ant's playing in Minnesota.
For sure. Michael Porter may be big time key to the series.
Yep, no doubt.
If he goes off, Nuggets probably win. Mm-hmm. If he has a couple of clunkers, Wolves are going to take him down. He has to step up and play. He has to be consistent, I believe, in the series for Denver.
This is the Western Conference Finals. I don't think OKC can beat any of these teams, although they were excellent against the Pelicans, but I expected more offensively. But a great job, though, getting the broom out.
You don't think they can beat who?
I don't think OKC can beat the winner of this Denver-Minnesota series. I think this is the Western Conference Finals.
By the way, a lot of chatter on the way in today of LeBron maybe going to the Warriors.
I hope not.
For more Follow the Money, tune in every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand, and he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a up artesian, because the only thing that lets dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is VSiN's Best Bets, giving you VSiN's top talent, handicappers, and guests to catch you up on what you may have missed.
Get up to VSiN.com, Best Bets, Derby Picks, Betting Splits, Betting Tools, Betting Guides, 7 playoff games tonight. 6 of them, team can close out the opponent. Everything you need, Johnny Hockey, all the breakdowns, VSiN.com. Check it out today.
Circa released their NFL Coach of the Year odds yesterday. Jim Harbaugh, the shortest shot on the board, no surprise, at 9-1. I mean, it would be obvious if he would turn that team around and they would win 9 or if they go over their win total, if they would win 9 or 10 games, potentially be a playoff team.
Well, this guy's coming in like Lombardi. I mean, this is...
But that's exactly right.
You go from Anthony Lynn to Staley to Harbaugh. I mean, with...
Slight upgrade, I'd say.
Yeah, no kidding.
But 9-1, I think people are going to make the case for him a lot. He's lower than that. At DraftKings, he's plus 650 there. I can't get there with it. There are better options on the board, in my opinion. And you know, unless he completely surprises everybody and turns him into a winner from day one, Matt LaFleur, second shot on the board. Salah's on the list very high. How about Dave Canales?
I couldn't believe this one. This is the one that got me. He's 13-1 here. Which you're thinking, okay, the recipe's there. It's the blueprint. What happened with Ryan's with Houston? But can he fix Bryce Young, number one? Number two, how bad is that roster? Plus, you have a lunatic owner. Did you see what he did last week again, too? Did you see that, Tepper?
Oh, my God.
This guy is past Sterling for most buffoonish owner and bizarre behavior. He walks in, he takes the guy's hat off because they put up a sign that said, hey, let the owner or let the GM and coach draft this year. And he flips out and wants to demand and wants answers to who put that up.
Well,
and he takes the kid's hat off and puts it down.
Walked into the restaurant. Evidently, he was laughing about it, so I don't know how pissed off he was. But I will say this. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many billions of dollars you're worth. You do that to the wrong guy, your lights are out.
You don't do that.
You never do that.
You walk up to an adult, you take his hat off and set it down.
If that's a billionaire walking up to you, and even if you recognize him, but if you don't, you're going to stand for that to where he treats you despicable, like you're not even a human being, to take your hat off, set it down, and then talk down to you?
You know what a good tweet?
Oh, he would have been hospitalized by several people.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting to that. Chris Long tweeted that out, former NFL player. He said, sometimes people just need an ass whooping.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy hasn't had one, but he's due for one.
Oh, no doubt.
He walks around like I'm a billionaire and I've never had my ass kicked before. I mean, someone needs to take him behind the woodshed.
I would dare him to do that to the wrong person again.
With
video running somehow.
Well, how about last year dumping a drink on a fan?
That might be worse.
You're going to do that to the wrong person and you're going to wake up on...
I told that story before. When I first moved out to Las Vegas, I was at a house party in my 20s. I went with a bunch of people who I was working with. For no reason. I had met this young lady that night. She was a friend of a friend. They didn't even say more than 5 words to her. Dumped a beer over my head and started laughing at it in front of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Marry her. Sounds like a lot of fun.
You got to sit there and take it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Looked at her and
how to react. Yeah, you have to take it, no doubt. What are you going to do? But this is back to the point of he's in a tough situation. And I don't know if you can fix Bryce Young and that offense. He's got his work cut out for him. He did a great job last year with Baker Mayfield. But this is...
What do they have to get to for Canales to win?
That's the other thing. Can they even... You got to get to at least 8.
I was going to say, if 7, is that enough? I don't know.
No. At least 8, because there's so many things that go on around the league.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Ryan's had to do. And I don't know if he loses that game, it probably goes to Stefanski if they lose to Steichen and the Colts in that final game on that Saturday. Mayo, no thank you. No part of it. Total rebuild. They're going to redshirt May. It's going to be Brissett. No weapons. McDonald, intriguing. I could see that.
No doubt. 32-1 here at Circa.
Dan Campbell, what would they just had a great year.
Yeah.
What, are they going to win 14 games?
I don't think so. I mean, that would be a non-bet for me. McVay had a lot of steam last year going down the stretch. He's around 18-1. How about Tomlin in the mix? He gets there. People start talking about this guy come, you know, Thanksgiving or right around there every single year. He's in that 22-1 range. 18-22-1. People love their draft. If it works with Russ or Justin Fields and they're a playoff caliber team, or if they would somehow win like 10-11 games, I don't know. If they pulled off the division, Tomlin can easily be the winner here, but that might be a big ask because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald caught my eye at 32-1. Yep. I think he's walking into a really good situation in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And if it's an upgrade in year one, again, the key here, your first year coach, they win it a lot. If they would challenge the 49ers for that division, I thought they had a good draft, especially in the first round. But if Geno looks good again, they're there. They're winning games. Potentially him. Another guy, too, I thought would be Jonathan Gannon. He's a little bit low for me, though, at 16-1 in that range. In Arizona, love the pick from Harrison. How do you not to go there and play with Kyler Murray? And you saw last year the defensive coach that he is. They were playing hard for that guy. And so if that would translate this year somehow into a bunch more wins, I could see Gannon somehow pulling this off. They had the lowest win total on the board last year, and it moved down, actually, to 3.5 before the season started. So I thought that they were a pleasant surprise under him. I don't know. Antonio Pierce is 20-1. With that combination, at quarterback, good defense.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton is 22-1 in that same division. All right, so here's what came across the screen yesterday. We briefly brought this up with Matt Eumanns. Where does this number go come July 20th? It's now a real fight. It's not going to be an exhibition. The Westgate was the first book to put this up. They opened up Jake Paul minus 180 against Mike Tyson. Tyson on the take back was plus 150. Paul has since moved to minus 210. I reached out to several people about this, saying, what do you want to do with this? The response from everybody was basically stay away, stay far, far away.
Yeah.
You don't know what the hell's going to happen
here. I totally agree. Now, $5 was too high, the faraway places. But now, you know, the 180 is more reasonable and respectable. But that's, I concur with what they said. Who knows what could happen here? I mean, anything's possible.
I think the public is going to be all over Tyson leading into the event.
Yeah.
And then will that actually create value on Jake Paul? But also, do you want to have a bet on Jake Paul? Because Tyson, this is such a wild card.
Oh, yes.
He's 58. You've seen the videos what he goes out there and he spars and he's throwing those haymakers. If he lands one or two of those, Jake Paul's going to take it from him?
I like the guy, and we've interviewed him many times. I can't believe I don't recall a 180 like this in a person's life.
Ever.
I mean, he went to prison. People hated him. What he went through outside the ring, and then he just became like everyone's favorite uncle. Now he's singing songs. He's doing one-man shows, writing books, hanging out, doing roasts and doing movies, Hangover, whatever. And now it's like, hey, it's Mike Tyson. Hey, Mike, let's have a drink. Let's hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smoke some ganja, whatever. And that's, it's never, I remember Al Bernstein was talking about this. He's astonished by it. Think about what Tyson was like. Bit Holyfield's ear off. Vilified. Get him out of here. How he acted in the press conferences and F-bombs and I'm going to bleep you till you love me and screaming at the media. When you didn't know if he was off his medication, not on his pills. He was capable of anything. Now he's just like, hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy? Let's hang out. And he's like a little puppy.
Yeah. Remember that press conference before the Lennox Lewis fight in Memphis? That was going to go off the rails. It did go off the rails.
Yeah, threw a punch, yeah.
Anything was good about to happen in that situation. I think people were going to get hurt. He was just a total wild card. You never knew. You expected bad things to happen on live TV with him. And then somehow the people who made the movie Hangover reached out to him, put him in that movie, and it just totally flipped his career.
Singing Phil Collins, and that's it. The rest is history. The other thing was the last member. He tore his ACL or meniscus or something in the ring in one of his last fights too. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls something or there's an injury. Anything's in play when you're at that age.
He was gassed. This is more than two decades ago. He would be gassed in the second or the third round.
Yeah.
He's in his upper 50s. How does he?
Yeah. And that's the thing about social media. Oh, you look at the footage. I mean, that stuff's 4 or 5 years old, stuff what they're showing when he's sparring. I mean, the more appropriate thing is go back a year or 2 years ago, he's walking around with a cane just to get around. And now what the guy could be like in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll do a huge number. No doubt. People will get enough of this on Netflix.
It'll be the first round knockout angle would be something to maybe look at once those markets are going to open up. Also, do you know how big Mike Tyson would be today if he was 22 years old? With all these first round knockouts and
growing
social
up,
media.
Had to do it. Some had to order the fight.
It was automatic.
Brian Formals, his family, him, Gary, his dad, big Twins fan, had to order every Tyson fight. Come over. Oh, that's it. It's over, 2 minutes in.
Sure.
Spinks, no matter. These guys would wet. Grown men wetting themselves.
Uh-huh.
Terrified of
over with before they stepped in the ring.
Yep.
He would be, and he was massive. What was he making, like $300 million a year back in the 80s and 90s to fight once or twice a year?
Yeah, Don King took it.
Yeah, exactly right. If he was 23 now and was the same. Yep.
For more Follow the Money, tune in every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific. Only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN's Best Bets, giving you VSiN's top talent, handicappers, and guests to catch you up on what you may have missed.
Welcome in. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show was brought to you by DraftKings. We're live today, as always, in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, kicking off this hour, talking some NHL playoffs. Greg Wyshynski does a great job writing for ESPN, and he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Greg, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's been an interesting first round. Not necessarily the most thrilling competitive game sevens all over the place and overtimes all over the place first round, but it's gotten some highlights.
Well, this is pretty rare. I mean, as we talked about during the break, if the Stars don't win last night, every series is at 3-1, so that would have been the first time ever where you didn't have a 2-2 in the first round. With that said, all four games being played tonight, the series is at 3-1. Which team or teams do you like, if any, to extend it all tonight, Greg?
I got my eye on the Islanders, to be honest with you. That's been a series that has been very tightly played. Obviously, in some cases, the Islanders had some self-inflicted wounds in the series, like blowing a three-goal lead in game two. Starting Sorokin in game three was clearly a mistake. But other than that, they've been pretty competitive. And the Hurricanes, on the other hand, I think have been a little bit disappointing. I definitely think they missed Brett Pesce, their defenseman who was injured earlier in the series. They've just not necessarily played that dominant clamp down game that we're used to seeing from them yet. And so, you know, Rod Brendamore, their coach, said it best. We gave them life. We gave them hope, you know, with that overtime win in game four. So it's not another realm of possibility that they could rally. And of the teams that are playing tonight, I'd probably say they have the best chance because the other ones, for various reasons, looked a little cooked.
Yes, I totally agree with everything you just said, including Varlamov was hot. Why did Wah make the goalie change in game three? Came back to bite him. Some books have this up already. Carolina, $1.40 favorite against the Rangers without home ice. What do you think of that?
Insane. I'm just saying, like, I understand. I'm as guilty of this as anyone, but a lot has been written about the Rangers' deficiencies at 5-on-5. I think people look at Carolina and say to themselves, that is a really solid 5-on-5 team, and make the direct correlation that they're going to be able to succeed against the Rangers. Well, look, you know, the Rangers have played them really, really well in recent history as far as their win-loss record. And having watched a lot of the Rangers in the last couple of weeks, look, it pains me to say this as a Devils fan, but they're really, really good. Like they could easily win the Stanley Cup this year, the Rangers, the way that they're playing right now. They've gotten, you know, their special teams are, I think, the best in the playoffs right now. Chychrun's been incredibly good. They've got two scoring lines rolling and could easily get a third rolling as well. I know I don't want to overrate them because they did beat up on a pretty bad Washington team. But even before that, in their last like 20 games, they had been playing some really good hockey. So I'm not surprised Carolina's the favorite given everything we know about the teams, but I don't necessarily think it's warranted.
Okay, very good. So you mentioned, use the word cooked, and let me give you a scenario. Boston wins tonight 5-1. What happens off-season in Toronto?
Oh, God. We were just talking about that on our podcast, The Drop, this week, doing a little pre-postmortem, I guess you could call it, on the Leafs. I think you have to break up their core group of players, and I think that probably begins with Mitch Marner. Marner will only have one more year left on his contract. He does have a full no-movement clause, but it's not like teams can't find ways to find an agreeable change of scenery for a guy, or else maybe make his life a little bit of hell as far as like ice time and things of that nature. If he doesn't agree to a trade, it just becomes apparent that, that this team is, it's not necessarily how they're built. It's the core of the team is the issue. You look at Boston, you look at their players, their impact players, Marchand, McAvoy, Pasternak. That's just a different kind of player than what the Leafs have. And maybe it's time to stop hoping that a guy who's 26 or 27 turns into a good playoff performer and starts swapping out some of these guys for good playoff performers. And I think the two I would identify are Mitch Marner and Morgan Rielly, who I think has proven to be a very, very good complementary defenseman, but not necessarily the type of number one guy that can win you a cup.
Is Winnipeg cooked?
I can't imagine they're not cooked. Like, the problem with Winnipeg is that they had one kind of thing going in their favor at the beginning of this series, which was that they had been playing better hockey coming into the playoffs, and they sort of rediscovered their defensive game, and their defensive game was so good that at one point they were leading that division. And it all tracks back to their goalie, Connor Hellebuyck, who was nominated for the Vezina Trophy yesterday for the league's best goalie. Well, fast forward a few games into this Colorado series, they can't defend. They're giving up like a ton of shots a game. And Hellebuyck is just by the analytics, the worst goalie in the playoffs, which is obviously not something that they anticipated. So the kind of one advantage they had in this series has gone completely the other way. And Colorado looks like they've really found some killer instinct in this series.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Greg Wyshynski, senior writer for NHL at ESPN.com. Can you tell us where you think the mindset might be with the Nashville Predators to blow a game like that? And oh, by the way, it's like 36 hours ago. And so they have to hop on a plane. That game ended kind of like early Sunday evening in Nashville Central Time. Have to go all the way to Vancouver. We said this in the previous segment. I get it. You're paid pros. You're supposed to get over that stuff. But that's a killer loss, Greg. Where do you think they are going into Game 5?
Well, if we're looking at it from a psychological standpoint, it's going to go one of two ways, because they're a pretty young team, right? And that youth was on display in blowing that lead in the third period. They haven't been there before. They haven't been in that position before in trying to close someone out in that manner. And so it manifested as the Canucks rallying and then winning in overtime. So either this is going to be a young team whose spirit is broken because they're just emotionally wrecked by what happened in a situation where they really had a chance to make some headway in the series instead of facing elimination, or they're too young and dumb to understand what happened in game four and then just come out and play extraordinarily well in game five. Look, the bottom line is that without Thatcher Demko in goal, and he's injured for Vancouver, the Predators are going to have a puncher's chance in this series, no matter what. The problem being though, is that there's no margin for error. And I tend to believe that even with some of the leadership they have on that team, the majority of these guys are just experiencing this for the first time. And coming back from 3-1 against a pretty good Vancouver team is going to be really difficult for the Predators. They really needed to grab that game forward in order to win the series.
What are they going to do in goal tonight? And if they win, what's the status of Demko moving forward?
Well, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what they do. I mean, the Smith is a possibility to come back tonight. From what everything that the coach Rick Hockett said, but this Arturs Svislavs from Latvia, who played in the last game, I mean, they won a game with him in goal. I mean, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't great, it wasn't like let's just hand the crease to this kid. But yeah, he did fine. I mean, he's 22. He had a 900 save percentage in the previous game. So you know, sometimes you just kind of go roll with what's working until it doesn't work anymore. And maybe at the end of the day, you buy DeSmith a little bit more time to heal up with this kid in goal.
Who do you think ultimately wins this series between the Golden Knights and the Stars?
Great question. You know, with both teams winning both games on the road, it kind of throws the whole thing into chaos. I do think that Dallas has gotten better as the series has gone on, and I think a lot of that tracks back to Jake Ottinger in goal. You know, they could be up 3-1 in the series were it not for Ottinger laying a complete egg in game one. It's possible that that's the case. So you have to kind of give them the edge going forward. They've got the momentum. They're feeling better about themselves, but you know, Vegas is Vegas. There's still times when you're watching these games and you're watching Vegas play, you're just like, how could this team not advance with the amount of talent that they have on that roster and the way that they play sometimes and take over games. But you know, Dallas steals home ice back. They've clearly, you know, stolen the momentum back. And I think that, you know, as long as the goaltending holds, they probably advance from the series, which is certainly not something any of us were thinking 2 games into it.
Yeah, no kidding. Which potential conference finals are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, the way it's tracking right now, you're looking probably at Dallas, Edmonton, I'd say, and then Florida, New York. If I'm reading the tea leaves and seeing a lot of, I mean, I've watched every game and kind of seeing how this thing plays out, it looks like that might be where we're headed. I tend to believe the Panthers are the only team that can take out the Rangers in the East. If Boston wins that series, I do think the Rangers can handle the Bruins. But if Florida makes it through and they're darn good, I think that they're a team that could knock out the Rangers. In the West, you know, we were talking about it before we hopped on the air, this idea that the Edmonton Oilers is suddenly a defensive juggernaut, like winning 1-0 games. You know, when the hell's the last time they won a 1-0 game in the playoffs? It was pretty impressive. Again, it's a Kings team that doesn't really, you know, scare the hell out of you, you know, from an offensive standpoint, but to still button down, to not get a ton of shots on goal, to win a game in a different way, I think just shows the maturation of this group defensively. They were my cup pick before the season. I mean, I did pick them last year too, but I picked them this year as well. And I think that I picked it because, you know, I like the supporting cast along with Draisaitl and McDavid. And I think I was hoping that they could, you know, have a performance like we saw against the Kings the other night. And if they do a few more of those, they could, you know, play for the cup.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian. Premium cocktails on demand.
This This is VSiN's Best Bets, catching you up on everything you missed on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back in the numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second consecutive segment. Just to clarify on the tennis, Drew has Sabalenka to win Madrid. He is not playing Sabalenka money line against Mira Andreeva. The good Andreeva sister, Kelly, for Jonathan Von Tobel fans
not
out there.
The one of VSiN legend. Yeah.
VSiN legend Erica Andreeva, who's good too, by the way, but not quite as good as Mira. All right, back with Drew, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Drew, by the way, on Twitter. I didn't mention this before. Not only does he do the deep dive and Bet the Edge podcast, but at @whale_capper on the old Twitter machine. Okay, NBA, sir. Let's talk about the three games. Well, let's talk about three games tonight, two games tomorrow, and then let's talk about the series price that has been established for the conference semis between the T-Wolves and the Denver Nuggets. First of all, tonight, triple header, beginning once again with the Knicks and the Sixers. Knicks looking to close out the Sixers in game five back at Madison Square Garden. -4.5, total 202.5. Anything here?
So I'm writing out Knicks series as the biggest bet that I had coming into this round one of the playoffs. And I'm writing out Knicks -2.5 games as well. So a 4-1 Knicks win would be just absolutely exactly what the doctor ordered tonight. But I think 4.5 is a little high. My fare was 3.5 here. So I wouldn't go run and bet into the Knicks right now. The total 202.5 is a little high as well. I would have made this one closer to 201. And ultimately, like, man, these unders are running like so hot. It's unbelievable. Face melting hot unders right now in the NBA playoffs. And, you know, the later we get into these series, the more these teams have solved each other, the more this becomes, you know, longer possessions at the end of the games and, you know, more ISO. I would expect that we see continued depression of the totals here. So I think if you made me make a bet on that game, I would take an under 202.5.
Okay. Magic Cavaliers game five, series knotted up at 2 apiece. We're back in Cleveland now. There's been a 20-point lead in each of these first four games. Home court has meant everything. Cavs now back to a 4.5-point favorite, total 201.5.
Yes. Yeah, so I am losing faith in the Cavaliers being able to ultimately get this one home. And I'm taking some defensive precautions by playing their team total under 103. Did I get 103? I think 103.5. Excuse me. 103.5. I'm on the under for the Cavs. And I'll ultimately, like, this is series. I have bets. I laid the price on the Magic. I'm just on the Cavs to win the series at -190, and we're back to that same price. And I've just kind of lost faith in this kind of gutless group of basketball players in Cleveland. And, you know, the Magic have salt. You know, they look at least like they're, you know, some of the just in general nerves of first time playoffs is starting to wear off for them. I think ultimately the defense that they have with their best lineup, particularly end of game, is just so good. Seeing the Cavaliers break 100 here would be surprising. Very sincere questions about Donovan Mitchell's health after he looked so good in game one. He has been very, very hit or miss since then. I think the second best player for the Cavs is Jared Allen. That's a problem. I think Franz Wagner is, you know, kind of taking matters into his own hands in terms of aggressive creation, and that is working phenomenally well to help the Magic snap out of some of their half court woes. So I could see the Magic winning this game and winning the series, but it's largely going to be on the hands of defense. And so Cleveland Cavaliers was sort of my way to try to get out of a Cavs series bet, and we'll see if I can thread the needle where the Cavs ultimately win without ever scoring 100 points in this series.
Cavs, who openly tanked to once again face the Magic. And then there's the Pacers and the Bucks. It's game five. It could be a closeout game for the Pacers. They're up 3-1. Remember, though, it is in Milwaukee. Still no Giannis, still no Dame. And in some weird way, with the Pacers favored by 4 and the total at 215, in some weird way, with the looming specter always of Giannis or Dame, because you never know when they might appear, maybe it's still a pressure situation for the Pacers here.
Yeah, and I put a line through Dame. I think it's very unlikely we see him. But I do, in the back of my head, think there is a non-zero chance that Giannis is upgraded from doubtful to questionable during the course of today. At least from what I've heard, he seemed like he was doing a pretty decent amount of work on Sunday. And he is always the kind of guy that I err on the side of going when you think it's very unlikely that he goes, because he does tend to perform well through these type of injuries. And I think, you know, his style of offense in particular is not as important in terms of rhythm as, say, some of the other guys who have missed big time. So I played some Bucks money line. It feels like a gamble, but and ultimately, if there is no Giannis in this game and I'm counting on, you know, Bobby Portis and, you know, Pat Beverly, like, I'm going to feel pretty stupid, because, you know, that, but like the fun takeaway, or the main takeaway here, is people are going to give the Pacers flowers for whatever happens here, right? Like, they've exceeded expectations. They're going to get a pat on the back. I'm not seeing it. Like, this team is not playing as well as I think they are giving credit for. There's been a lot of shooting luck for them, and that particularly at home. And I think they're going to be a pretty clear bet against next round, the way the market is pricing them right now.
Anything tomorrow before we get to the Derby? So the Heat looking to, the Celtics looking to close out the Heat back in Boston, 13.5-point favorites. That's a total of 200. And then game five between the Mavericks and the Clippers back in L.A., but the Mavericks are 2.5-point road favorites, 209, the total.
Yeah, I'm at a pick'em there, so I can't get to 2.5, and I'm at 207. So I did play some Clippers 2.5, and I played some under 209. I have no opinion on Heat Celtics. I assume the Celtics come through, just kind of eagerly awaiting for more details on the Kristaps Porzingis calf injury, because, you know, probably not going to matter a ton for this next round of the playoffs, but for the Eastern Conference Finals, it certainly will, and for the Finals, if the Celtics get there, it certainly will. So. That's kind of the only thing to really key, monitor with the Celtics. And I think Mavericks Clippers to me is a coin flip. I'm surprised that there's still as much enthusiasm for this Mavericks team as there exists in market, considering Luka looks pretty hobbled and his 3-point shot has completely abandoned him. And, you have Kyrie, who is finally solving some of the Clippers defense that really was, stumping him early in the series. But the rest of the supporting cast for this Mavericks is not as good as they were billed.
Okay. So the Knicks are your biggest position. That's what you're really keyed in on tonight.
Yeah. The Knicks coming through with,
okay.
Just win, please.
We got 3 minutes. Let's talk about the 150th run for the Roses, the Derby with fierceness as the favorite, the short shot, if you will, just south of $3 right now. Sierra Leone right behind fierceness. How you doing? How you betting this?
Well, if there's one common theme for all of 2024 to this point, it is that chalk has been pretty much unbeatable. And so it is tempting to just line up with fierceness. He is the fastest horse. He has the best, his data in the preparation races is infallible. Like, he is clearly the fastest horse. I have sort of taken a stand against him as I continue to try to find a way into a huge price in the year 2024 that has not come. The reasoning on betting against fierceness is this is a very, very fast early speed. This is kind of a derby of years gone by. They changed the qualification methodology for the Derby to get the better horses in the field and to try to keep some of the sprinters out. But because of this particular run up where you had a lot of the really, really good 3-year-olds get scratched and or kind of flame out and or not be allowed to run because of, Bob Baffert being suspended, it's a little bit of a lean field and a lot of sprinters got in, and you have early speed in this race. In addition to fierceness, who is a front runner. And I think in particular, the fact that you have a horse like Dornock get drawn into the one, and he is an early speed horse and they're just going to have to go. I think this sets up similarly to the race we had last year and the year before, where the early fractions were just blazing hot. And that caused, 2 years ago, it caused a complete pace meltdown. Last year, it caused a little bit of an opportunity for Mage to come through off of. He was 17th to the wire at the first, you know, at the first turn, and then ultimately kind of worked his way through the pack to win. And I kind of think this is how this race sets up more so than Fierceness being able to go wire to wire. So I'm circling some of the horses that have, closing speed. And I think, the one that I'm the most excited about is Honor Marie, who I bet into in the fixed pool at 20-1. And the case for Honor Marie is, you know, he runs off the pace. He could be the last horse across the first wire. Like, it wouldn't shock anyone. But I will say that what we've seen from him this week working out is a lot more tactical speed than people realized he has. And he's a horse that seems to be taking the right steps in terms of improvement, to where if this is a fast first portion of the race and you have Fierceness on the lead and using his energy coming from 17 to get out to the lead, that's a longer trip. I think you have a potential for him to kind of run out of gas at some point, which will set up the opportunity for Honor Marie. Catching Freedom is sort of the other one that fits that exact mold.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.